Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen and I am joined today by my good friend Chris Castain. How are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I am busy. I'm in the midst of moving. I guess that's where I maybe could start the podcast. I'm moving up to the University of Utah to start my junior year. First time up at the University of Utah, so I'm living off campus for a semester just to see if I like it or not. And then we'll kind of see after that. But I am moving, basically, tomorrow, so I am going to be pretty packed for the rest of the week and most of next week as classes start up. So we're taking a quick 2-week hiatus when you hear this. This will probably be the filler show. This show, by the way, if we're missing some kind of news, is being recorded on August 13th, Tuesday. It will be dropped on Monday, August 19th. Yeah. So if we missed something, it's not because we're just glossing over it here. It's because that we decided to record this podcast a little bit early. This is also, I think, episode 197 or something like that. Which is kind of crazy. I don't really keep track of episode numbers, as people know, but when we get close to like 50s and hundreds, it's something to keep track of. So maybe be looking with your eye out for a episode 200 perspective with Jonders, who's going to interview me a little bit later sometime this month, hopefully before week one starts, because I think we'll have episode 200 before week one starts. But anyways, that's some podcast housekeeping. Are we ready to get into the news here, Chris?
Yep, ready whenever you are.
Okay, let's start with Antonio Brown. It ends up, I guess, everything's fine and he's just heading to Raiders camp. I don't know. As everyone has heard from what I've said on this podcast, I'm kind of done talking about Antonio Brown. He is just an annoying person who is the center of NFL storylines, and I kind of don't want to give him any more attention, but he's going back to Raiders camp. That's about all I have.
Yeah, there's really not a lot to say. I mean, I think all this was just started up as drama in the first place. Because I think he'd already decided before when he first started talking about this. I was sure he was still playing. He was just trying to either doing this to get leverage, to hope that the NFL would let him to use his older helmet, or this was just nothing, basically, just to start up a bunch of drama, which he did a good job of doing that. He did a pretty good job of doing that. So I guess I got to give him an A+ at that, but really not a lot to say about this anymore. I think we covered it pretty well last week, or the week before last, whatever you want to call it.
Yep. Moving on to the next piece of news here. Dak Prescott, according to Jane Slater, was offered a $30 million contract. He turned it down. He wants closer to $40 million a year. Thoughts on that, Chris?
He's not worth $40 million a year, and I was tweeting about this last night. I think he's worth $30 million. I think was just right for Dak Prescott. I don't think he's worth any more. They'll probably end up settling on $35 million, but he's not worth $40 million. He's definitely not worth $40 million. Because if he's worth $40 million, imagine what a guy like Tom Brady, even though he gives the Patriots a lot of what he deserves back. Or Aaron Rodgers or somebody, they're worth probably $60 million a year. Dak Prescott's worth $40 million. He's not worth $40 million. He's worth maybe $30 million.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I think $40 million for Dak Prescott is way overpaying, because Ezekiel Elliott, now if you were going to pay Ezekiel Elliott top of his class money, I have no problem with that, because he is arguably the best running back in the league right now. So I don't know. They're just asking to get into cap hell if they go any higher than 35, just because they're going to have to pay Amari Cooper soon and Ezekiel Elliott. And there's no way they're going to, and then what people aren't mentioning is in 2 years, they're going to have to pay Jalen Smith and, Leighton Vander Esch.
And they're not going to.
Those two are going to have to make huge money or else they just won't be in Dallas anymore. But you don't want to hamstring yourself and give up basically your entire defense just because of three offensive players.
Exactly that. Dallas is going to end up losing somebody. I don't know who it's going to be. It's not going to be Prescott, I don't think. I think they're going to settle 35 or maybe even 33. I don't think he gets any more than 35. Zeke, I don't know about Zeke. I don't know exactly. It's all kind of confusing with Zeke right now. But from what I've seen, he's going to show up week one, but he's doing this to try to get leverage to get what he wants. He's not going to get as much he wants either. And the two defensive guys, that's 2 years away, so we have to wait and see what happens, how they play over the next 2 years, and so on. So I don't know if Dak's going to get paid this. It may not even be this summer. It may be next summer. It's just going to have to be a wait and see.
Right. All right. And then a report coming out today said it would be a surprise if Jadeveon Clowney was not traded. Something I actually said on the podcast here a little while back was I thought that this had the potential of the Texans moving Clowney. I don't think they want to trade him. He's obviously a great player. But first of all, what do you think Clowney's worth is? Is he worth a first-round pick?
He's not worth what he was drafted at. I think he's worth a later first-round pick, but not a early. I don't think he's worth a very early first round pick. Now that might end up being one day he's getting. And yeah, honestly, I'm thinking second rounder or late first.
Yeah, I think second rounder, like two second rounders or a second and a third with like a fourth next year. I think a second rounder will definitely be involved. And I think two second rounders is very likely. I have a hard time seeing a team giving up a first round pick for this guy because they'll also have to pay him whoever trades for him.
Well, the thing is that from the reports that I've seen, they're trying to get, I guess, an offensive lineman, and I don't see that either. He's not worth a significant offensive lineman to me at this point. So,
see, I think that would be a fair trade. I think you could a top to second tier offensive lineman for
second tier. Yeah, I think a second tier would
like
work.
Even if you went, the Redskins have said they won't trade Trent Williams, even though he wants to be traded. There was that. Did you see that report that came out?
I haven't seen it, but.
They said that the Redskins didn't want to move him and aren't planning on moving him. But I think you could get Trent Williams. If you sent like Jadeveon Clowney and a third round pick, you could probably get Trent Williams back. And I think that'd be a fair trade.
Yeah. If you added something else, yes, it would be a fair trade, but not straight up. I don't think it would be I wouldn't say it's a horrible trade, but I wouldn't be satisfied if I were the Redskins if I got that offer in the front office. Who do you think he'll ultimately be traded to, though?
I don't know. I was kind of racking my brain over this. The Patriots might not want to pay him a ton, but the Patriots would make sense. A guy to replace Flowers on that line, I think. I don't know. I think he is just a perfect scheme fit for New England. I think he'd fit in there really well. And then two, maybe the New York Jets because they obviously missed out on Anthony Barr. They got C.J. Mosley, yes, but in free agency, correct? I want to say they got C.J. Mosley. I'll double check. But I think that the Jets could use one more kind of defensive playmaker, and they have some draft capital to give up. So I think that'd make sense. And then I think Another place that might make sense would be Kansas City. They lost Justin Houston to the Colts this offseason in free agency. I think Kansas City would make sense for Clowney as well.
I like the Jets. I like the Chiefs. I don't think either one of them will pick them up, but I do like them as options. They both could use them. I would look at a team like the Eagles. I think there's a possibility of the Eagles being able to pick him up.
Especially with the recent injury to Kamu Grugier-Hill. Yeah, I completely – that's a great point.
But it wouldn't shock me if it was the Patriots either. Just the way the Patriots are, they'd be one to come scoop him up.
Yeah, the Patriots – yeah, that – you are absolutely correct. That would be a very Patriots move.
Yep.
As I pull up, I'm trying to pull up the Jets roster here. But other than the Eagles, who do you think the second biggest team might be that we haven't named?
That's tough. That's very tough. Yeah, I haven't really thought of a second team. I was mainly thinking the Eagles.
I think the Jets would make a ton of sense.
I haven't really put a whole lot of thought into this, so it's kind of a hard answer.
It's fine.
I do like the Jets, so I like the Jets over the Chiefs. Out of the ones we said or the ones you said.
The Jets' current outside linebackers, Brandon Copeland, Jordan Jenkins, and Avery Williams – well, not Avery Williamson, pardon me. Terrell Basham, who might not make the team. I think they could definitely use an outside linebacker, and I think Clowney would fit well there. I think the Jets might be a team that could go after him.
I think either of those three teams that we talked about, between the Chiefs, the Jets, and the Eagles, I like all three of those. The Patriots, like, even though we said it wouldn't, I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. I don't really think it's going to happen. I just don't think the Patriots have the pieces or just going to have the draft capital to get Clowney. So I don't think that's going to happen. But like I said, it wouldn't be shocking. They'll find a way if they really want him.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's move on to this. So this actually got, if you listened a few weeks back to our top 10 new era quarterback show, which I thought was awesome. One of the best shows of the new season thus far. Chris also came up with top 10 power rankings, and I wanted to do the same, but I haven't really had time. I kind of stalled out on my division previews. I still have to look at AFC East and South rosters just to double check and make sure that I fully grasp what every team has. So that those two previews are coming way later in the month as I try to catch up on what all are on those rosters by the end of the month. But Chris, let's start from the bottom. Who do you have at number 10?
Well, the 10 and the 9 were the toughest, but at 10, I have the Colts. I like them to have a bounce back, they had a bounce back year last year, but I expect them to improve even more off of that. I like them at – I'll go ahead and I'll tell my records for these teams. I like them at the 9 and 7 or the 10 and 6 range.
Wow. That's pretty low on the Colts. I actually love the Colts' chances. I think they drafted
for a better record.
Yeah, I think they drafted really well. And
I do too.
I mean, what kind of weaknesses do they only got better? They added Justin Houston. They didn't really lose anyone. I have a hard time seeing this team go anything worse than 11-5.
I like the division too. I think they split with the Jaguars and the Texans. It's more of the division, how tough the division is, more than how bad weaknesses the Colts have. And I'm not 100% their defense. I think I just haven't seen enough of their defense yet to really say I'm ready to say 11-5 or better as far as a record, or even put them closer to up in the top 10.
Yeah, I think I'm much lower on the rest of the AFC South than you are. I don't think the Texans are going to be very good this year. I think they have massive problems at the offensive line and are about two injuries away from being a super thin team. So I don't buy the Texans. I don't really buy the hype around the Titans and the Jaguars. And the Jaguars don't really have any offensive weapons for Nick Foles to throw to. So
interesting. I think the Jaguars have a bounce back year based off of the 4-12. I think they're going to go closer to 8-8.
Just because of their defense or
just because of their defense mainly. Okay. Offensively, they're not going to be – they're going to be better than they were under Blake Bortles, but they're not going to be
– they don't have any good wide receivers.
No, they really don't. No, I think Westbrook's probably their best or second best wide receiver. And when he's your second best or second best, that's not saying a whole lot. So yeah, I would agree with you. I think there's just based off their defense, I think their defense is going to have a bounce back here. That's really the only reason And I think the Houston Texans are going to be better than what you're saying. I just think Watson alone accounts for a couple of wins as far as player to player. And although if they lose Clowney, their offensive line's weaker than it was last year. There are problems, no doubt about that. But I still think they're going to be a little better than you're thinking right now.
They're going to be terrible. Let me pull up playoff predictor really quick and kind of see where I have teams. I haven't put out a ton of my record predictions for the South, so this is kind of raw. But I think I have the Texans sitting somewhere between like 7 and 9 wins. I don't think it's going to be like bad. I just think
that's what I'm thinking. That's about where I have them at. Let me look. I'm looking as well because I did this last night. Real quickly. Oh well, this isn't updated, but I have them about 8-8.
Yeah, I have them about 7-9. I don't think they're going to be terrible, but I don't think they're going to be by any means great.
They're not going to be great by no means. They're not. I have them missing the playoffs. That I'm definitely going to say. They're not a playoff team, but they're borderline contenders, let's call them that, for a playoff spot, for a wild card spot. That's where I've got them at.
All right. Let's go to 9. Sorry, I froze up for a second there.
At 9, I have the Vikings.
Okay.
I really like Kirk Cousins and what they have on the offensive end, and I really like their defense too. I'm not sure yet because last year was cause for pause for me. They're another team that I expect to have a bounce back year this year, based off of what they did last year. So that's why I really have. They're already a pretty good team. Hopefully they improved, and Kirk Cousins in his second or third year, I can't even remember right now. This is his second year, right?
Kirk Cousins has played way more than 2 years.
No, I'm talking about with the Vikings. He's on.
Oh yes, yeah. This will be his second year.
I'm really expecting him to improve on his second year. So that's what I've got. What do you think about that?
I think that Vikings are – I think you're right. I think year two Kirk Cousins is going to be much different than year one Kirk Cousins. I think he's going to be better. I think the offensive general is going to be better. They added Gary Kubiak as one of their offensive specialists is what they're calling him or whatever. I think Dalvin Cook is going to have kind of a bigger bounce back year if he can stay healthy. He needs to stay healthy, of course. I like Irv Smith Jr. on offense, and the defense is still great. They They came down a little bit last year. Xavier Rhodes was not good last year, but if he can bounce back a little bit and the defense can kind of get back to what they were 2 years ago as well, I think Kirk Cousins was kind of unfairly blamed for last year's struggles because if you look at it, yes, he didn't perform in big games, but statistically, he put up the best season of his career. And the defense really couldn't get stops when they needed to in some of those bigger games. I think that the defense let him down. I think the whole team, the whole defense in general, took a step back from being like one of the top three in the league to being just outside the top 10. I think they need to bounce back big, and I think if they can, I think they can be potentially much higher than 9 at the end of the year.
There's no reason that they shouldn't bounce back this year. I would be quite surprised because right now I have them at like 10-6 or potentially 11-5.
All right. Who do you have at 8?
At 8, I have the Falcons.
Okay. I would have had the Falcons higher, actually.
I don't know. It's just something about the Falcons, and then I think it's going to take another year. But I do – I'm not as worried this year about the offensive coordinator spot than I was last year because at least I can't think of his name right now.
Dirk Cutter,
yeah. At least he's played with Matt Ryan before, so I'm not as worried as I was last year. Last year, I wouldn't have had him in the top 10. I really wouldn't have. Probably not even in the top 15 because they sucked last year. So I think the offense will be greatly improved. I think it'll be more consistent. No real changes on offense. Defense lost a few pieces. They really did, so I'm really concerned about their defense. And quite frankly, Dan Quinn's the new defensive coordinator, so it should be better, but I don't know. I don't know yet. It's just too many question marks right now.
See, I look at the Falcons roster, and outside of maybe losing – they lost Robert Alford at corner, right? Or was it somebody else?
Yeah, Robert Alford went to the Cardinals.
Right. So I just think that – I look at the Falcons roster, and maybe I'm too optimistic, but I don't see a single weak spot on it. I think it's strong at every position, and I would honestly have them as a top five team.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're going to win this division, and I think they're kind of going to win it with ease.
I don't know about with ease. I think they're – this is interesting because I have them one game under the Saints. So I guess that's maybe a preview of what's to come later. But I don't see it this year. I really don't. But I could be wrong. And I know we've been kind of off and on talking about it since the NFC podcast. You said the Falcons would win the division, and I'm just not there yet. I'm not there yet on the Falcons.
All right. Who do you have at 7? That's where we're at right now.
The Chargers. I have the Chargers at 7.
Wow.
I have them starting at 7. I know when I tweeted last night, I had them at number 1 at 12-4. I'm not there at number 1 yet because I'm kind of basing it off of last year too. This isn't just a raw talent just based off of my predictions, this is how I feel like they're starting. That's why I have them at 7. But ultimately, yes, I do think at the end of the regular season, they'll finish at 1.
So what changed your mind? What changed your mind on the Chargers? Because you have been, as listeners of this podcast know, you have been very anti-Chargers for the past like 2 years. Like
they've proven themselves. They've proven themselves to me especially last year. And they started pretty. They started off pretty questionable at the beginning of the season, but they went on a big run, and I can't deny that. And now my only thing about the Chargers is what's going to happen with Melvin Gordon. What if they lose him? I'm out on him again. I really am.
Austin Ekeler dominated in the preseason and in the regular season last year. Looked very, very good.
He looked very good.
And Justin Jackson is a good running back as well. I don't think they're taking that big a step back if they go from Melvin Gordon to Austin Ekeler and Justin Jackson.
it's not as big of a step as it could be. Like, if, like, say if the Cowboys all Zeke, I think that would be a bigger step for sure. Because the Chargers do have some talent, but they do fall some, I think, a few spots. Maybe it wouldn't be as bad, like, on the in my record predictions, I wouldn't have them falling out of the top 10 or anything ridiculous like that, but I still see them at like 2 or 3 on the record predictions. And on here, if they lost Melvin Gordon, I'd probably have them at 9 or 10. And right. They may fall out of the top 10, between 9 and 11. I couldn't really say right now just because it's just too early and we don't know what's going to happen. So, but anywhere between 9 and 11.
All right.
But their defense is solid. I like their defense. So that's why I would keep them in the top 10 too, because their defense is – there's not too many weaknesses on that team. There's really not.
Okay. Up next, we have number 6. Who we have at 6?
I have the Bears at 6.
Okay.
It's hard – of course, their defense is the best – part of that team, no doubt about it. I think they improved even off of last year. But the only reason I didn't have them higher is because of Trubisky. I don't like his decision-making necessarily 100% of the time. I wanted to put them in the top 5 or even like 3, but I just couldn't do it. And, yes, they do have some pretty good pieces at the wide receiver position, Taylor Gabriel, few others. I'm not going to name them all, but Mitchell Trubisky is why I think Mitchell Trubisky is what's going to cause that team not to be up to its highest potential.
I'm not.
What do you think about that?
I don't know what to think about Mitchell Trubisky, because I see the promise, but like you say, his decision making is not there. Yeah. Not very good. I just think that we need to give him like 2 or 3 games before I make a judgment. I need to see regular season okay. 2 or 3 Mitchell Trubisky games before I make a judgment on him for the season. Maybe more, maybe even 4 or 5, because this is a guy that hasn't played much football in his entire career. He didn't play that he didn't start that long at North Carolina. Yep. He just barely had his first full season last year. I think he's going to be better in Matt Nagy's offense in 2019 is the year we are in right now. But I just need to see a little bit more of him. I can't make a judgment either way whether he's good or bad without seeing more of him. Because there's too small a sample size in his case, I think.
Right, yeah. I absolutely agree there too. We haven't seen enough. And that's why I guess our question is – decision making, just because I need to see more. I do need to see more. I agree with you.
All right, let's get into the top 5.
At 5, I have the Eagles.
Okay. Don't disagree with that. I think their running back depth concerns me. Mm-hmm. I think Miles Sanders is still hurt. I don't know if Jordan Howard can be a number one back. Everything else I like about him. Wide receiving core is good. Defensive line's good. Linebacking is a concern. Secondary's good. I think they could use a linebacker. But that being said, I would not disagree with having them at 5.
Yeah, and there's really not too terribly much to add to what you said. But except for Wentz. His injuries the past couple of seasons concern me. I'm having a big problem with that. Even when I talk about the Eagles in general, whether it be on Twitter or whatever, that's keeping them down, because that's taken away from the sample size that I've seen. And when I see, it's almost like they're playing all right when he gets injured, and then they get better when he goes out. Like the next game or in the playoffs, it seems like they're a better team when he's out. So I really need to see what happens this season before I totally in on Wentz. I'm not totally in at all right now.
Okay. I am totally sold on Carson Wentz. I think he's great. I think the injuries are a concern, but I think he'll be able to stay healthy this year. Who do you have at four?
At four, I have the Chiefs. This one wasn't really hard for me at all. That they're not they would be higher if they were went higher in the playoffs. I did consider that in this decision making when I decided my top 10. The offense is undeniably, everybody knows it. It's the great offense. Even better news better news for the Chiefs when they found out Tyreek Hill wasn't going to be suspended. So that kind of took an effect of why I had him as high as I did. Defensively, they've gotten better. They've actually gotten better, but there's still a little cause for pause on the defense. That's why they're four. They would be higher. And I think Patrick Mahomes is gonna fall back some. He's not gonna have the 50 touchdowns, how many 5,000 yards or how many ever he had last season. He's gonna fall back some.
All right. At three.
At three, I have the Saints.
Wow.
This was a pretty matter of difference of opinion on us with Drew Brees. That's really
weren't even in my top 10.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of based it just on how I think the teams will do this year. I think you went much –
I don't see much of a change.
I think you went much more last year. I don't think Drew Brees is the same guy. I
think it's gonna be.
I don't know if you did. I've been watching a lot of Drew Brees game tape recently. He could not throw deep for the last like 6 weeks of the season, including the playoffs. He was basically, his best route that he threw was a slant route to Michael Thomas. Like, he might really fall off this year. I don't know.
His decision making is without a doubt.
He threw a killer pick.
We can't say every pick. We can't call out every pick.
Well, I will say his decision making went down a little bit. He had some head scratching throws in the middle at the end, and people, for as much as they want to blame that PI call, the reason the Saints lost that game was because Drew Brees threw a killer pick in overtime. He would have just taken care of business and driven that team down and scored, they would have been in the Super Bowl and they might have won the Super Bowl. But he threw a killer pick, and I just don't think people need to be more skeptical of Drew Brees. I have always been skeptical of Drew Brees, and I thought he was great through points last year, but I thought at the end of the year he was not the same guy, and I don't think he's going to be the same guy going into 2019. I think the Saints are not going to be bad, but as I've said at the NFC South preview, I think they're a 9-17.
You think they're going to be the same team they were from 2015 and 2016, that 8-8. Around 8-8, they were 9-7 one season.
Yeah.
But for the most part, 8-8, 9-7, and I could see that possibly because we've seen it before. It wouldn't be shocking, but part of this is not just what I expect to happen. Part of this is what happened last season, and how the team may or may not have improved. So I could see if with what you said about Drew Brees, I can totally understand having him outside the top 10. Based off of what you said, I wouldn't have him any lower than 15, though. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I don't have them super low. I just don't think they're a top 10 football team. I have other teams in the top 10.
That's understandable, though. I understand that.
All right. Two?
Yep. Two's the Rams. This team, there's no denying how much talent they have. They're loaded, still on offense and defense. They're bringing back Cooper Kupp off of injury. If I remember right, yeah, they're bringing back Cooper Kupp off of injury. And even without Cooper Kupp, they made it to the Super Bowl last season. So, adding him is going to make them even better on offense. The defense, I think, is going to be better. what's their coordinator's name? I can't remember the coordinator's name. But
for who?
The Rams.
They lost their offensive coordinator, actually.
Defensive coordinator.
Wade Phillips.
Wade Phillips, yep. Wade Phillips, I think he's going to make this defense better in his second season. It was kind of questionable in the first season, but he's known for his making improvements over the couple of years. It takes a couple of years to get used to his defense sometimes. To me, the second spot having the Rams was no question. That was no doubt.
I'm just concerned by Jared.
It would have been one that.
What?
What do you mean out with him?
Sorry, you cut out for a second. What was I saying?
Okay. Now?
Yeah. I can hear you now.
My question. Yeah. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. My question was, what are you concerned about with Jared Goff?
He took a step. He was okay last year down the stretch, but he was so bad in the Super Bowl. And he was really never the same guy that lit up. He lit up the Vikings for like 400 yards, and then he was kind of a game manager for the rest of the year. I don't know if he's a top 10 quarterback right now, and I don't know if I trust him leading an offense more than I trust a guy like Kansas City or something like that. I would have had the Chiefs higher than the Rams.
Well, I think the Rams' defense is better than the Chiefs. That's really the difference right there.
I can agree with that.
That's why, but I don't think that. I'm not as low on Jared Goff. I think he's borderline top 10. He may be 10. He may be slightly under 10. I haven't done a quarterback's rankings out of the top 30, everybody, so I can't really say right this second that for sure I have him in or out of the top 10. But he would be around there for me right now.
All right. And then finally, we have – all right, Chris, tell me who you have at number one.
Number one.
I've got the Patriots at number one. This really? Is huh. mainly based on them winning the Super Bowl. I have to admit, because if I had to go solely based off of talent, I may not necessarily have them at one, but one, there's two reasons. One, the Super Bowl. Two, Tom Brady. Tom Brady, I think he's – I really think he might fall back this year, but he just accounts for so many wins on that team. It's tough putting him at one solely based off of talent, but I can't take away from the Super Bowl that they just won. Now, they've lost people. They lost Gronkowski. That's a big concern. But really, they've done a lot without him because of how many injuries he's had over the last year or two, whether it be in the Super Bowl or not. They've still managed to win Super Bowls with him, with or without him. They still have Sony Michel from George, the running back, the sophomore. I do like him a lot still in that offense. And they still have quite a few pieces. And I can't go around the bush without saying this is because of Tom Brady. That's really why I have them at where they are at. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Because if there was a different quarterback, I don't care how good the quarterback was. There's not really anybody right now that's better than Tom Brady, especially with the decision making and. I could see him having a fall down season, like not to the level you're talking about with Drew Brees, but I see him having a going.
You think slow down,
but
purely based on talent, Tom Brady is still the number one quarterback in the league.
Based off of mainly decision making, not talent. I don't think talent wise he's there.
I don't think he's the number one quarterback in the league at all.
Where do you think he's at?
He's like close to like 7 or 8. He's still a good quarterback, but
he ain't that low. He's not that low.
Patrick Mahomes is better than him. Aaron Rodgers is better than him. He took a notable step back last year.
He did take a step back a little bit, but
okay. This is where I think we disagree on our rankings. I did this purely based on rosters. And you did this kind of based on what they did last year.
I did it 50% based off of what they did last year and where I would have had them at the end of last year going into this season.
So, actually, our top 10s are pretty similar. I don't have an exact list. I just have 10 teams I chose. Our list is the same, but there are two teams, and I'm going to let you guess, two teams that are not on your list that I have in the top 10.
Well, one we've already decided is the Saints. And two, that's kind of tough.
No, one that is not on your list that you think is on my list. Because there are two.
That's tough. I really don't have a good guess.
Well, shame on you. You haven't been listening to the podcast.
Is it the NFC or AFC?
AFC.
AFC? You got to tell me. I don't know.
Cleveland Browns.
Oh, my God.
I missed, oh, my gosh.
I knew I missed somebody. Oh, my gosh. I would have had them in the top 10. I probably would have had them over the Colts. Oh, my gosh. I would not have them over the Colts.
I might have them. I think the two teams that I didn't have in that you had in was I didn't have Minnesota in and I didn't have New Orleans in. The second team, I know you're going to disagree with this, the Ravens. I think the Ravens are like bottom of the top 10.
I would have had them outside the top 10 at 11 or 12, but I don't disagree. I wouldn't blame you because I consider putting them at 10, but I just thought the Colts were better. But I would have had the Browns in. Here's the thing is I accidentally deleted my top 10 the other day. And then that's right before the podcast, I had to remember it. And then, so I messed up on that one. So yeah, I would have had the Browns in the top 10. It didn't hit my mind when I was doing it, when I was redoing my top 10. And I knew, I was like, I'm missing somebody. I knew I was missing a team that would have been in the top 10, and that's the Browns. I probably would have had them at 9, actually, if I think about it. I would have had the Vikings at 10 and the Browns at 9. That's what I had the other day. So, All right. Yeah.
Well, with that, I think that'll do it for this episode of the End Zone Podcast. Chris, why don't you plug yourself really quick?
On Twitter, I'm at ChrisC_01. That's really all I'm at right this second.
All right, Chris. Well, we might do one more show before the season starts. But if not, I think we'll see you in the regular season, probably week two or week three. So
I'm sure we'll do several podcasts at some point over the season.
Thank you very much for joining us, Chris. We will see all of you guys next time. Can't give you an exact time, but enjoy this off-week surprise podcast. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next time. Peace out.
Peace.
Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.